Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
On today's episode of The Practical Pro Musician, we're going to talk all about how to possibly afford that piece of gear that you've had your eye on, or at least justify it in your own mind so that you feel better about pulling the trigger and jumping in on that awesome thing you have your eye on. Stay tuned.
We love playing music, but it seems like the odds of making a living as a professional musician are about as high as winning the lottery. So the big question is this: how do musicians like us, with jobs, families, and responsibilities, get from where we are today to making a practical living playing music we love? Well, my name is Daniel Hadaway, and this show will give you the answers. This is The Practical Pro Musician.
Hey, 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 welcome back again to The Practical Pro Musician. My name's Daniel, and I'm so happy you are here with me again today. If you notice, at least to me, it seems like my voice is a little bit deeper. That's for two reasons. One is, of course, it's, I was going to say it's allergy season here in Tennessee, but that's like all year round, so that's nothing new. But then also, I've been doing a little bit of teaching and recording some other lessons or some other things I'm doing, and I've just been talking a lot recently, so I think my voice is a little bit worn out, so I sound a little bit more radio ready. How are you? I'm glad you've decided to join me again. This is an episode that it's interesting. I've thought about sharing this, and I'm not 100% sure if I've shared this this idea before or not on this show on either. I know I haven't done it on Practical Pro Musician. Maybe back in the day on Drummer Daily, I might have talked about this, but I thought this is, I was teaching on this recently, and I thought this would be something kind of fun to share with you. And it's all about, it's something that we talk a lot about, like meeting people and relationships and networking and all those kinds of things. But I thought we'd talk about something kind of fun today. At least it's fun to me. And that's gear and buying gear and how to afford gear and all that kind of stuff. And I guess if you hear this episode and you're like, man, Daniel, this is not interesting or fun at all to me, I guess that means that you're less of a geek than I am, because I love this kind of stuff. I think the reason why I love this kind of stuff is that, and we're not going to get too heavy into finances or anything like that. It's just a couple of ideas, I think the reason why I love this stuff is that it has enabled me to get to play with some really cool gear, and I don't know many musicians who don't love. Who don't love gear. And so, if you're anything like me, I think that, that you're going to get a kick out of today's episode. Now, I do want to say this about what we're going to talk about. I have to say this, I think. I don't have a lawyer, but if I did, he'd probably tell me, she would probably tell me, you need to make sure you say this. Which is, I'm not a financial expert. I don't even pretend to be one. And so you should not listen to much of anything that I'm saying here without talking to somebody who does know what they're talking about, a trained professional, a certified professional, because that's not me. And so this is, I would say what today is more of a thought experiment, a fun exercise to help you consider the possibilities and then go and do some of your own research and decide if this is something you want to do or not. But don't just take my word for it on this stuff and then go do it. Cause this could be, for some reason that I'm not aware of, could be a terrible idea. And I don't want to be the reason why you make a terrible financial decision. But yeah, this is a fun thing to talk about. All right, so with that said, and this is not a concept that I originated by any stretch of the imagination. This is not my idea. This is not something I came up with. This is something I discovered through some other means. I can't remember exactly how I came across this concept. I've kind of ascribed to this thought for so long that I think that I can't remember where it came from. I will say this though, that this does root back to me. Like, I've always been kind of like a wheeler and a dealer. I've always been a negotiator. I always like to kind of like figure out how to make things happen that kind of seem like they're not possible. Maybe it comes from that even deep into my childhood, this idea originates. All right. So Let me kind of, I'm just going to give you an example of a piece of gear that I bought a while back. And I think by me telling you this story, I think it's going to illustrate the concept that I am trying to communicate with you. So I guess this was probably 6 or 7 years ago, as many years ago. I found a vintage Rogers drum kit. I'm a drummer. I found a vintage drum set made by Rogers, which is a company that they're kind of around. I don't think they're around anymore anyway. But anyway, back in the day, they were great. And they're highly sought after, a late 60s Rogers drum kit. And I found it used. Obviously, you're not buying a new 60s drum kit. I found it though. Bought it. I was able to get a great deal on it because they couldn't verify a few of the details about where the different pieces of the kit came from, if they all belonged to the same kit or not. I didn't care because I was taking it home to play it. If you're in the collecting world at all, they have, you know, pieces of gear they call player's gear, which basically means it's not in like pristine collectible condition. So you're not going to be like, you know, getting big bucks for this stuff, but it still sounds like that vintage instrument that everyone loves and is great for playing. If you actually want to play this instrument and not just look at it, this is the kind of condition that, you know, you might want to go for. So it was like a good, like I think they call it players or playing condition. Anyway, got it for, I think I paid $600 for the drum kit. So I bought the drum kit and just so you know, like at the time, $600 was a stretch, like a big stretch. Like it wasn't like we didn't have a bunch of extra money sitting around. So that was a big deal. But we bought the kit. I was going on tour. I think I wanted it to take on tour or something. So I knew kind of I'd make the money back eventually from music, that whole thing. But anyway, I bought the kit for $600, I think. And I got it home and immediately it came with a bunch of the vintage original hardware, like the metal that holds the drums up. It came with a bunch of that stuff with it, which I, in doing some research after I bought the kit, and maybe I even researched this before I bought the kit, so I knew this when I bought it, but that hardware is really hard to find. It's the original stuff is real sturdy. It's actually astonishingly sturdy for vintage hardware. Plus, it looks, you know, period correct for collectors, and it doesn't, you know, it's not a modern piece of hardware sitting on this vintage drum or whatever. So those things were highly sought after. So I was able to sell, I think there were two pieces of hardware from that kit that I sold almost immediately on Reverb or eBay or somewhere for, I think it totaled maybe $200. And so I bought that kit for $600 and then right away I basically made $200 back from it. So at that point I was only in the hole $400 for that drum kit. And to me, the kit really had only cost me $400, which is like even more of a no-brainer. That's like the price of like a beginner drum set. But this was this awesome vintage kit. So had the drum kit for, I guess I had it for maybe 3 or 4 years. And then maybe even 5 years. I can't remember exactly. But I had the kit for many years. And then when the time came and I was ready to get a new drum set, I sold this drum kit. and I actually sold the drum kit for $850. So remember, I had only really, at the end of the day, paid $400 for it. I kept it for 4 or 5 years, I think, and then made got paid $850 for it. So I profited $450 from this drum kit. So if you were to look at me like where I'm sitting now, present day, basically I got paid $450 to play an awesome drum set for 4 or 5 years. And that was like amazing, right? Like if someone in the front end of that had said to me, hey, I am going to pay you $500 or $400 to play this drum kit for the next 4 or 5 years. Will you take that deal? I'll give you the drum kit and at the end of this, I'll give you $400 at the end of this. It's a no-brainer, right? So the concept, I think it's called, what is it called? I don't remember what it's called. Oh, well, it'll probably come to me at the end of the episode. I'll post this episode and then I'll remember what it's called. But the concept of you're really only paying for the amount of money you're risking on buying a piece of gear is only what you stand to possibly lose or gain when you sell it again. Because gear doesn't become immensely invaluable unless you break it, or not valuable, have no value unless you break it, over time. I mean, a lot of gear does go down in value. It depreciates. But some does get more valuable. So another example, one where I didn't make money, was I bought like an audio interface, like for recording, mics into my computer. I bought that. It was like a little M-Audio thing. I bought it used for, I don't remember exactly what it was, maybe $120. And used it for, I remember I kept it for at least 5 years. And then I sold it. When I upgraded a computer and it was no longer compatible with the computer that I upgraded to, I sold it through Craigslist or something for $60. So I lost $60, but I got to use it for 5 years. And if you were to basically kind of like prorate out that $60 that I lost over 5 years, that means that I paid $1 per month for 5 years to have this wonderful audio interface. It had like tons of inputs and outputs. And as a drummer, that's a very helpful thing to have. So I paid $1 a month for 5 years to have that piece of gear. And again, at the beginning of that, if someone said, hey, Daniel, I will give you this piece of gear and you just need to pay me $1, just hand me a dollar bill every month and you can keep it, it'd be a no-brainer. So the concept is like the idea that I was only really risking when I paid that $120 for that interface. I really was only risking whatever amount of money that it would go down in value for the life of how long I had it. So I was basically only needed to cover depreciation. It's almost kind of like leasing something, but where you can keep it as long as you want it and you don't have to turn it back in and it's yours from day one. Because you can get, basically what you're doing is you're just risking the depreciation. And if you play your cards right, sometimes you can keep track of how certain pieces of gear go up and down in value over time and buy something when it's gone down in value pretty low, and you're lowering the amount of risk you have. So again, I'm sure some financial person is going to write in and say it's called this or that, and it's a terrible idea. But to me, it's enabled me to get some gear, or at least in my mind, justify buying some really nice gear. Cause I know, that at the end of all of it, if I want to get rid of it and I need the money, I can sell it. Now, a couple of caveats to that. Number one is it's risky. You don't want to do this with money you don't have. So I would never, for example, like put a bunch of gear purchases on a credit card and at the same time justifying it by saying, oh, well, I can sell it down the road and only have to pay for depreciation. Because the reality is the whole time you're paying off that credit card, you're paying interest on that. And that kind of starts to eat into anything you might stand to gain any kind of losses that you're mitigating by taking this method are completely eaten up by credit card interest. So do not do this with a credit card. The other thing is, the other kind of flip side of that is, you know, you still have to have that money that you're out of pocket while you have that piece of gear. So, you know, I'm looking right now as I'm recording this at my drum kit by A&F Drum Co. Those are expensive drums.
And I had to have the money on the front end to pay for those drums. And I mean, I had a deal. I have an artist deal with them, but it's still, they're still expensive drums, even with the deal. Because side note on endorsements, no one's giving stuff away for free most of the time. So that's not how it works. And you also have, there's two sides to every deal like that. So anyway, I still had to pay a lot of money for these drums. And so I've got them and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, I actually had to have the money on the front end to pay for these drums. If I didn't have that money on the front end, I should not have bought them. Now, if I want to sell them later on, I'll probably make back what I paid for them. But the whole time, that money that I had to front is not mine to use for other things. So just keep that in mind with this idea. All right. So the name of this has not come to me, but I think it's just a fun way to start kind of processing how start to rethink how your relationship with your gear. If there's a piece of gear that you actually think you need or you want because it's fun or whatever, this can be a fun way to kind of think things through. The amount of money that you are risking. Again, don't do this with money you need. Don't go put yourself in financial ruin for this kind of thing. This is a fun thought experiment. If you've got a few extra bucks that you'd like to spend on a piece of gear, this can be a fun way of thinking about it where it might make you feel a little better about pulling the trigger on that piece of gear. But I'm not trying to pressure you to buy more gear. That's probably the last thing most of us need is more gear. We need to spend more time on our instruments and building relationships and doing other things, not buying better gear. All right. Well, thanks for joining me this week, talking all kinds of fun stuff about gear and money and geeking out with math. I appreciate you joining me. We'll talk again really soon. Bye for now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.